Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the program at any time other than 3 p.m. Central, you can still get your question to us by voicemail at the same number, and we'll be glad to discuss it as soon as possible on the Basic Gospel Live program. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. We invite you to call now because it's Basic Gospel. And again, I want to say welcome to my friend Andrew Farley. Andrew, good to have you with me again today.
Hey, Bob. Great to be with you as always. And I know we're going to jump right in, so let's go for it.
Let's go for it. This call came in from Orlando overnight. We'll listen right now.
My name is Orlando, and I truly cannot believe how you can say that it's okay to not to obey the law of God. Are you calling God a liar? Because God gave us 10 commandments. Forget the Moses law and the scribes law and every man's law. But God is perfect. And God gave us 10 commandments with his finger. He wrote it down. And you are saying that, oh, because we live in grace, we can go what? I can go kill or I can go steal. But then I say, oh, it's okay because I'm under grace of God. What you are saying is a lie. Thank you.
Ouch.
Yeah. I love that we get to talk about this today, Bob, because this is a very common misunderstanding about the gospel message. A lot of people believe that you're dead to the law except for the Ten Commandments. You're not under the law except for the Ten Commandments. And if you're saying that, then, you know, the reason you need those ten is it's going to keep you from stealing, and it's going to keep you from lying, and it's going to keep you from cheating on your spouse. And so your confidence ends up being in Moses rather than Jesus. And, you know, when we look at the New Testament message, it is pretty clear across the board. Paul says in Romans, you're not under the law. Galatians, he says, you're not under the law. You're dead to the law. You've died to the law. And on it goes. There is a passage even in Colossians chapter 2 that says, since you died with Jesus, why are you living under rules? Why do you look to rules like do not handle, do not taste, do not touch? And if we're not careful, this very popular religious view that we're still under the Ten Commandments, if we adhere to that, we're saying, oh yeah, Jesus, I will take you for your blood sacrifice, but as far as morality and ethics, I'll take Moses. Oh yeah, I'll take you for hanging on a cross there with blood all over you. I'll take you as my sacrifice and my forgiveness of sins. But when it comes to the influence in my life, the impetus for change, the motivation and the inspiration, I'll take tablets of stone. And the reason, Bob, that this is so confusing for people is because they have been hearing for so many decades now a lot of popular teaching that dices up God's law. I mean, it's 613 commands staring us in the face. And James says, if you keep the whole law and stumble in one point, you're guilty of all of it. So it's not about 10 commandments. It's about 600 plus. And Galatians says the same thing. It says that if you're under the law, then you're under the whole law. And cursed is everyone who does not obey everything written in the book of the law. Now, everything written in the book of the law, that refers to the Torah, to the first five books in the Old Testament and every command in it. So we really have no right to go cherry picking and saying, well, I'm dead to the ceremonial, I'm dead to the sacrificial, I'm dead to the dietary, but I still need the Ten Commandments. Wait a minute, I don't feel like keeping a Sabbath on Saturday, Friday at sundown. That's too inconvenient. So I know, here's what I'll do. I'll keep the Nine Commandments. And so we start whittling away at God's law to try to get it the way we like it. And what's ironic is it doesn't achieve our purpose. I mean, the Bible says that sin will not master you because you're not under law. So think about that. Paul says this in Romans, sin will not master you because you're under grace, not law. So what does that tell you? If you're under the law, sin's going to master you. If you're under grace, sin won't master you. So we don't realize we're doing this. I mean, Orlando, I'm sure, has very good intentions. He has a concern about the message of the gospel. He's looking for clarity. And he believes that the end goal is godliness. Well, so do we. We believe the end goal is upright living, expressing the fruit of the Spirit, engaging in good works, loving other people. But the question is, how do we get there? And if we get there by the Ten Commandments, then the New Testament is the one that's lying. Because the New Testament tells us we don't get there by the Ten Commandments. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul specifically addresses the Ten Commandments. He says, Bob, he says there was a ministry engraved in letters on stone. And then he says that ministry is a ministry of condemnation and a ministry of death. And then he says there's a greater ministry today, the new covenant, the ministry of the Spirit. He says it has a greater glory. It's a better ministry. Hebrews says the same thing. It says the new covenant is founded on better promises. So we've got to stop this business of saying that the Ten Commandments are a holdout, that the Ten Commandments are an exception. They are not. And when we look at God's law, yes, it is perfect. Orlando is right about that. The law is from God, and it is perfect. But it is also impossible. Yes. And that's the whole point. It is perfectly impossible. So when I get my favorite 10 out and I just sort of extract those 10, well, then maybe I think I'm doing okay. But see, God doesn't permit that. He's not grading on a curve. If you're under the law, Galatians says, you're under a curse. So it's an all or nothing proposition. We don't get to sit at the buffet line of law and pick our favorite ones. I'll take these 10. Wait a minute, I'll just take 9 of them. Wait a minute, I'll take tithing. Mm. Look, Ma, it's a new set of 10. I mean, you know, we're doing that, and we're doing it because we're nervous about sin. And yet you go back and you look at Romans 7, Bob, and I'll conclude with this, but it's just overwhelmingly obvious. You look at Romans 7 and you say, what is Paul's struggle? Well, his struggle is coveting. Well, what law is he under? He's under that law of thou shalt not covet. Well, where does that come from? Well, it comes from the Ten Commandments. Well, what is the solution he gives? Well, the solution he gives is this. Apart from the law, sin is dead. In other words, apart from the coveting law, apart from the Ten Commandments, apart from thou shalt not covet, you won't find yourself coveting. How's that going to happen? By trusting Jesus instead of Moses. So whether it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3 or Romans chapter 7, it is plain and obvious that if you are under the Ten Commandments hoping that you're going to sin less, well, the result is going to be that you end up with sinning of every kind. And apart from the law, sin is dead. So there is no exception to this. We need to trust Jesus from beginning to end. And let me stress again, the goal is fruit bearing. The goal is good works. The goal is expressing Christ. But the question is, how do we get there? And the answer is, there's a reason that Jesus Christ dwells in you. It is not just for him to forgive you of your sins, but he alone empowers you. Flirting with Moses is cheating on Jesus. Jesus Christ is enough. His life lived in and through you is sufficient for every good work. And Bob, that is the result we can expect from him every single time he's trustworthy.
That is basic gospel right there. Andrew, thank you for the clarity. And Orlando, I hope you're listening and take this to heart. If you have trouble understanding what Andrew was saying, I encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net, and pull up this program and listen to it again, because I think it'd be well worth your while. Okay, open lines, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining me. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us, friends. And, you know, a resource that has helped so many people arrive at a new and exciting place in their lives is Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And simply stated, through many struggles in his early life, Bob came to understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about doing better and trying harder to please God, but it's about simply resting in the finished work of Christ Jesus. That, my friends, is the way the Christian life is supposed to work. So with that in mind, tomorrow on Basic Gospel, we'll begin a brand new study series through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. And I invite you to join Bob Christopher and me for session one of that study. Now, to really get the most out of this new study, this new series, let me suggest that you get a copy of the study guide. And to do that, just visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. It's a dedicated site, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. And from there, you can order either or both the book or the study guide. So we encourage you again, visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com and get your study guide on the way, or the book, or both. We'll be on that study tomorrow here on Basic Gospel. Well, Andrew, we had a call, and I'm sorry, an email from Larry from Pittsburgh, and his question concerns 1 John 3:6-10. How do you interpret that particular passage? Is the sin that John is speaking of the sin of unbelief? These verses are very confusing. That's from Larry in Pittsburgh.
Well, Larry, I certainly agree with you that they're challenging, they're very difficult to interpret, and let's just read this so that everyone's on the same page here. It says, no one who lives in him, talking about Jesus, no one who lives in Jesus keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. And it goes on from there, and you say, well, what's going on? No one who's born of God will continue to sin. But wait a minute, I struggle with sin, and the book of James says we all stumble in many ways. So, Brother John, what are you talking about here in your epistle when you say no one who is born of God will continue to sin? Well, I think the translations on this are somewhat helpful. When you grab two or three different translations, you get the idea here from the original language that John is saying you can't keep on keeping on. I mean, there's a new pattern. There's a new trend. I mean, just think about it. Are we saying that we are now slaves of righteousness, yet that old pattern is going to just remain forever? Wait, I mean, didn't God say, I began a good work in you? I'm going to carry you on to completion. So this same author, John, says, if any of us does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So clearly he believes that we children of God still struggle, still stumble, still commit sins. So what he's talking about here, Bob, is this important idea that when you are transferred out of Adam and put into Christ, there is a new pattern, there is a new trend, there is a new nature, there is a new heart, and there is a new influence in your life that is pretty powerful, and his name is Jesus Christ. And as he influences you, and you're one with him, well, you can expect new things. He's prepared in advance good works that you can walk in. He's renewing your mind. You're growing in God's grace. So, yes, we all stumble in many ways. And, Larry, I get it. I mean, you read a passage like this and you say, well, wait a minute. I can remember three sins I committed recently. So, am I genuinely saved? Is this verse about me or not? Where do I fit in with all my struggles? Well, that is so very normal. Every child of God struggles. Every child of God stumbles. Every child of God is learning and growing. And so we hear you. But at the same time, the core of this message, as presented by John, is something important to grasp. He is saying there are believers and then there are deceivers. And in fact, his whole letter practically is about contrasting believers and deceivers. There were false teachers. There were people saying Jesus didn't come in the flesh. There were people saying sin is not even real. There were sin deniers and Jesus deniers in this group. And John is saying, let me tell you about the people who are born of God. They have a new trend, a new heart, a new nature, and they're not going to deny Jesus, and they're not going to act like that, and they're going to recognize the reality of sin, and they're going to want to turn from it. Sure, they're going to stumble and fall and mess up like we all do, but God is doing an amazing work. If you're born of God, you can expect some pretty incredible things throughout your life. He is working the character of Jesus Christ out in your life, in your attitudes and actions. And Bob, that is awesome, and we can eagerly await that.
Absolutely. Great stuff, Andrew. Thank you for that. And Larry, hope that's a help to you. Reach out again if you have further questions. Well, we have an incoming call from Tracy in Hutchinson, Kansas. Let's go talk to Tracy right now. Hi, Tracy. You're on the air with Andrew Farley, and I'm Bob Davis.
Hi, Bob and Andrew. I like when you talk about the new identity we have in Christ, and I don't think some people actually grasp the difference between the old and new identity, and I was asked a question I really wasn't sure how to answer. It was, when we do good works or we're working through Christ, someone asked me, do you get treasures in heaven? And I feel like he is our treasure in heaven, but I wanted you to kind of comment on that if you could, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, when Jesus talks about this, Tracy, he says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He's comparing that with an earthly perspective. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And then he goes on and he says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, he's not literally saying, well, here's one more gold chain for you, and here's a beautiful necklace, and here's a bracelet, and here's an extra crown, and here's a bigger mansion, and here's more square footage, and on and on. I mean, we've invented these sort of things. But what he's actually talking about is the earthly perspective in Matthew 6. These Jews, they're listening to him. Imagine hundreds of Jewish people sitting on rocks on a hillside as Jesus is teaching this Sermon on the Mount. And part of it is informing them that this is all temporary. I mean, everything you see visibly is temporary. It's going to fade away. And so if you have spent your life storing up treasures on earth, watch out, because you're missing the heavenly perspective. There's going to be a way, and it is soon coming. Right after this sermon and just a little while after, we've got the death, you've got the burial, you've got the resurrection, then you've got Pentecost. I mean, this point in human history is the incredible time when people can begin to say, whoa, something powerful has happened. Jesus has done an incredible work in his death and resurrection. So now I can get raised up and seated in heavenly places with him and in him, and I can set my mind on things above, not on things below. I can set my mind on heavenly ideas, things like loving each other and the joy of the Holy Spirit and patience and kindness in Christ. I can now set my mind on those things instead of being stressed out all the time about earthy stuff. And so that's really the context of Matthew 6, 19 and 20 when he talks about these treasures. I mean, treasures are not things that you earn. Treasures are things that you discover. Every pirate movie ought to tell you that. I mean, they're not earning those treasures. They're discovering them. And that's what Jesus is saying, that there's incredible treasure in him. It involves the fruit of the Spirit, a heavenly perspective, a new mindset. And so that's what it's all about. Tracy, I hope that helps, and thank you so much for your call today, my friend.
Absolutely. Great to hear from you, brother. Hope you'll keep listening and call again. Friends, how can you know that you're right with God? Well, sadly, the answer seems to be hidden to a lot of us. Well, why is that? Basically, it's because people are trying to earn it by their own good works and deeds. But righteousness is not something you can earn. It's God's gift, and it's his to give. We have a brand new series from Basic Gospel. It's called Revealed. And it will open your eyes to see and receive God's gift of righteousness. We want you to have a copy as our way of saying thank you for your gift to support Basic Gospel in the month of July. Just click donate when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Revealed. You can start now to stand confidently in the truth that you are right with God through faith in the righteous one, Jesus Christ. We'll send you a copy to say thanks for making your gift of Basic Gospel, as I said, in the month of July. Well, again, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we had this question from Ben, who writes to us from Narrakorte in South Australia. Andrew, he says, I just discovered your ministry by rummaging through Andrew Farley, through Andrew Farley stuff on the net. I have an old friend who is an unbeliever who mocks Christianity, and he is staying with me for 5 months. It began as a favor as he found work near me after he was unable to travel back interstate to work due to the virus restrictions. I've been feeling a bit uneasy about him staying here lately, though. He's okay to live with. No major problem, issues there. I'm not totally sure why I'm feeling uneasy. Does 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be bound together with unbelievers, apply not just to marriage but to housemates and business partners as well? Is it okay to gently say, I want to live by myself, and ask him to find somewhere else to stay?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I appreciate hearing from you, Ben, there in Australia, which, again, is just an awesome, awesome testament to the reach of Basic Gospel.
Yes.
Around the world via technology, Bob. And, you know, in addressing this, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it's primarily, at least in the original language, when you look at this, what you're seeing here is this idea of being yoked or bound together. The most readily available application, I think, is the idea of marriage. It has nothing here that would make you think, well, he's talking about a housemate or a roommate or a best friend or a neighbor that you shouldn't ever go to lunch with or something like that. I mean, Paul speaks out against that sort of thing, saying, hey, I'm not telling you to stay away from all unbelievers. I mean, you would have to go out of this world if you were going to try to do that. No, I'm just telling you that anybody who is a so-called brother and then is making a mockery of the gospel, well, steer clear of them for reputation's sake. These would be false teachers. These would be rejectors of sound doctrine. Avoid them like the plague. Don't associate with them because of reputation. But as far as unbelievers, no. I mean, for God so loved the world, and my goodness, the gospel invitation is for the whosoever wills. And that's the exciting thing. One of the big exciting things about being in Christ is that we get to relate to the world in a way that they've never seen. So, you know, coming back to the core of your question there, Ben, you're free. You're free to have this person as a roommate. You're free to tell him, hey, here's a deadline for you. I want to look toward this date to where we each have our own place. You're not bound by anything written in 2 Corinthians 6, which seems to be more about some sort of unhealthy relationship, either a marriage relationship by choice with an unbeliever. You know going in that they don't believe in Jesus. You get married anyway, and then very quickly you find out, well, wait a minute, what fellowship does righteousness have with darkness? And I'm different than the guy next door. I've got Christ living in me, and I am made for new and better things. So in this case, Ben, my goodness, brother, you are free to choose your roommate, your housemate, and you're not bound by anything here. So decide from the heart. Let God motivate you from the heart and the mind. And that's where he lives, in you. So look for him to lead you.
Absolutely. Andrew, I just want to take a few seconds to say how much I and Bob and Stephen and Greg and Coleman and everybody, Michelle, here at Basic Gospel, appreciate you and your availability to serve and to serve the needs of our listeners here on Basic Gospel. And every time you're called on, you're just graciously here, and I just appreciate that and love you very much, my friend. Thanks for being you.
Bob, I love you too. It's a real honor to be with you today and each week. So thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, thanks everybody for joining Andrew and me for today's Basic Gospel broadcast. If you have Bible questions or need scriptural guidance for a life issue you may be struggling with, just give us a call overnight, 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to hear from you. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Or you can post your on-air question under the radio tab at basicgospel.net. Well, be sure to join Bob Christopher and me tomorrow on Basic Gospel for a brand new study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. Order your copy now from SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. That's a dedicated site, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. You can order both the book and the study guide right there. Well, I hope you'll be here for that. So now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with much thanks to Andrew for being with me today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join BC and me tomorrow for that new Friday study, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, on Basic Gospel. A reminder also, we stream daily on both Facebook and YouTube, link from the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.